Well, Chapacha Catania Gujian Deal the Baitley, Misha Brendan O'Davna and Sha'i Highland Radio. Thanks very much, folks. Welcome to the Deal the Bait. I want to thank Ivan Borland for the Power Hour Plus and Katie for the news. I want to thanks, as ever, to Kieran Brogan and Sister Sarahs for the ongoing support of the DL debate. To Muj, Aaron Bahar, and Nacht, to Muj and Shah, a Bally na Champagne. We are here in the home of the 2025 double champions. We are here in Glenties with Niamh Collin. We're upstairs here in the Thatch Bar Restaurant. Beautiful setting here with Brad's beautiful face in the background here. One of our many contributors this evening, folks. We're going to have a packed show as ever. We look back at two epic games yesterday. What a day for the Niamh Connell Club. What a famous club it is, and what a championship it was. What the new rules and the day that we had yesterday in the O'Donnell Park. We have beside me here, I'm flanked here by one of Niamh Connell's famous sons, John Gilday. Give it up. And another wee Sligo man that ended up in there, Kenny Brendan Kilcoyne. So as I say, go ahead, John.
I just noticed you didn't introduce him as a St. Eunan's man. You introduced him as a Sligo man. But anyway, that's a story for another day.
We're in best behaviour here. We're surrounded here, John. Best behaviour. I say, folks, on the show this evening, we're going to hear from Bradis O'Donnell. He needs no introduction. We're going to hear from a very happy chairman. Actually, one of the happiest chairmen I've ever met, regardless of what's happening. Of course, Peter McKelvey. We're going to hear from the captain himself, John O'Malley. We're going to hear from club legend Johnny the Butcher and Martin Regan, seniors here. And eventually, I think there's going to have to be a statue of his son down the road here at the park, I think, with all these championships that keep coming in, folks. We're going to dive into all the action shortly and hear from the lads. I want to first just mention a couple of championships that were won at the weekend. We had Cairn Donagh, which did a similar thing as the Niamh Connell Club. They won the Junior A and B. Brendan, you were covering the match. Of course, they were defeated in last year's final by Niamh Patrick Iskey Keane, but they came back to right the wrongs.
They certainly did, yeah, and they set the tone for the weekend with the double. You know, both reserves and seniors going out and winning, and suffered a bit of heartache the last couple of years down in Cairn Donagh, losing the final last year to their initial own compatriots, Niamh Patrick Muff, who were a fantastic team, fantastic junior team, but they were brilliant, they were very good, so they were, and led by Conor O'Donnell, he scored as good a goal as you're going to see, so he did, he was absolutely fantastic, but he was ably supported all over the field too, so he was, he'd, you know, the back, Danny Diver, Danny Monaghan was very good, Danny Monaghan was marking the Letterkenny Gael sharpshooter, Conor McBrearty, and he did a fantastic job on him, kept him quiet, and he did, Connor got a few from freeze, but thought they were brilliant, the two of them, and the platform of midfield then with Kelly and O'Carroll and just Conor O'Donnell. Like I think the ceiling for that lad is crazy. Like, you know what he can do if he gets
some finish the season with Donegal, didn't he?
Absolutely. Yeah, he seems to be getting better and better, and I think he's getting a bit of confidence in his game. And then you had Keane Burke, Anthony Doherty, all very strong. So brilliant day for Cairn Donagh, like, to come up and win a double at that level after, you know, they lost a couple of years ago, two Letterkenny Gaels in the final, losing last year to Muff, and to be able to turn that around and comprehensively, like, they were well-drilled, looked a decent side, and will go well in Ulster, I would imagine, because Donegal teams have gone well in Ulster.
The Intermediate Championship in any zone is going to be some crack this. You've New Patrick gets again, Buncrana, Mallon, and now Cairn Donagh.
There's going to be a few
sparks playing there.
It's brilliant, like, you know, Cairn Donagh, they were able to, I was speaking to a few of them, the 40 out training every night, like, you know, so they're a club that are really thriving and going the right direction, and that can all only be good for Donegal football to have the likes of clubs like Cairn Donagh, Muff, Mallon, these kind of clubs competing at the top level, and they certainly are making big tracks down there.
Yeah, well done, Cairn Donagh. Of course, the Senior C Championship was won by McCool's, beating St Eunan's. Well done to them also, but let's take it in to the main show in town, and we're here, and of course I just seen Conall Doherty there in from Ardra. You know, there was a special support there yesterday of the Ardra team of 25 years ago. Come on, Conall, he's dodged away out down the back. They beat us in the final, so I'm not going to say too much about that. We'll move quickly on, but John, just to yesterday, you know, you started all this back in 2005 with the Breakthrough Championship. We've seen so much in between that time, but this has been a very, I won't call it strange, been a very exciting year. It's maybe been a bit strange in terms of performances at times, but it's ended up with Niamh Connell being champions, you know, in both grades. And the way the seasons went, the day yesterday, the weather, it was one of those finals, I think it'll live long in the memory.
Yeah, you know, I think overall, if you looked at it this year, like Niamh Connell, I'm supposed to say that themselves haven't been firing on all cylinders by their normal standards. And I think that was the big question mark going into the final. They kind of fallen into a final, and people were saying they're lucky. And then, as I said to somebody today, you keep being lucky, there's something more than being luck to it, because they were out of so many games and just hung in there. And Martin said it very well yesterday, even they don't know when to lie down. And then yesterday, I think it's as fine a 50 minutes of football as in that second half into the first period of extra time as I've seen Niamh Connell play. They just completely took over in every aspect of the game. And you go into a county final and you're 7 points down at half time, and you know, you look like you're in trouble. But there wasn't a level of restlessness at all, even in the crowd. There was this kind of inner calm that, okay, if they get a score, they come back into the game. Peter had no inner calm. Lack of faith there, Peter. The rest of us were calm for a short period of time, and my apologies to Father Gavigan, who was behind me when I one of the moments when I wasn't calm. But they just grew into the game. Key men stood up. Big Kieran Gallagher, I thought, for 35, 40 minutes was outstanding. He just decided that every ball that was in the middle of the park, he was either going to run through a couple of Gador men or get his hands on the ball.
Good all year.
Yeah, and then they swept everything else up. And really, at that stage, we probably missed about 1-4, 1-5. And the game could have been swung much earlier. And even the fact that Gador had a chance to win it at the end, you know, you would have been looking back as a Niamh Connell person and being disappointed, because the dominance was so much. I think in that 40-minute period, the score was 2-9 to 3 points. Just a complete takeover. And it probably took Niamh Connell a period of time, maybe to get used to the rules over the last year. I know there's been an awful lot of talk about the new rules won't suit Niamh Connell. And here we are again, county championship. And I think it's a great championship to win, because what it does is it puts a real stamp on the last 20 years of what has been phenomenal for the club. But winners won, and that's what the boys in this club are. They're winners, and no matter what the rules are, no matter what adversity they come up against, no matter what the situation is, if you leave them hanging around, it's like the Jaws music. They're coming to get you. And genuinely, I think that fed into Gador's psyche at certain points yesterday. They panicked a little bit, and then our guys grew into it and grew into it. And to me, it was one of the most outstanding championships to win, because they weren't going well, because of the new rules, because a lot of games were so close all across the board. And then to win it at the end of it was sensational.
Yeah, sensational. Brennan, just on that, you know, the build-up to the game, the tactics. Like I was saying for a long time, that if anything, the new rules, it's going to suit teams with the better players, because they'll be more dangerous in terms of possession of the ball and attack bracing. Plus, you've got always have strong runners from deep, breaking lines. And to me, yesterday, the most interesting thing about that game was they've kind of went tag defending and went out after Gador. Like, they were the team was coming after Gador, because Gador was sitting. And it did work in the first half, because they got their share of kickouts. But then as the game, as John mentioned, got into the second half, once Niamh Connell took over in the kickouts with the likes of Gallagher, particularly around the middle, they really, really bossed the game.
They certainly did, Jan. Kieran Gallagher, exceptional all year. I thought I was really impressed with him all year. He looked really fit all year. He looked tuned in games, and thought he was exceptional all year for Niamh Connell. But I was kind of, you know, I was very confident about Niamh Connell yesterday, from the point of view that I know what they're like. They're around long enough now, so I've tasted it from both sides, kind of thing. But, that first few minutes after halftime, I felt at halftime they were well in it. I wasn't concerned about them in that respect. But they had four attacks, and they left with nothing with their first four attacks of the second half. But they had the will, and John references there. I think it's in the back of other teams' heads too. These are coming. And it makes them conservative in their approach. So they sit. And you invite a team like Niamh Connell onto you, they're going to hurt you. And that's what transpired in the second half. Eventually, you know, Big Kieran took over middle of the field. Big Max Campbell went up and picked one out of the clouds at one stage. We were chatting about it too. I nearly fell off my chair when he did it, because there were so many big round men around. But the introduction of Max Campbell, Shea Malone, of course, Finbar, you know, the pace that they have brought to this Niamh Connell team. Like, you already had the likes of Kevin McGettigan. He just gets goals all the time. He's crept up and gets goals. He just drifts in, and Finbar was involved in the move. Kevin was involved in the move. And I was looking back at it today, and I was saying, he gave the ball to Finbar. How the hell did he end up back in front of Padraig McBride to be able to hoof it into the net then. Like, and it just shows you their persistence and their perseverance, that they will always find a way. And it, that's how it worked out yesterday. And, you know, you had people coming in off the bench. I thought Lee was brilliant when he came in yesterday. I thought he made a big, big impact when he came in. Johnny O'Malley, when he came back in, really, really did well. So he did contribute. He was a bit thick coming off, so he was, I think, but he did really well when he went back in. But and to get that impact, they got more of an impact from the bench than maybe Guidor did, and that was just shows you the strength in squad. And you add that to the reserve title too, and you see the likes of young Danny Brown and Tiernan Moore kicking 13 points between them in the reserve final on the inside line. Just the depth of quality that is at the club here, and you know, they just keep churning out these underage players, and it's phenomenal. So it is, and I would say I'd be getting Shane Malone tied down. So I would
a contract.
Yeah,
you can't do contracts in the GAA. That's controversial.
Yeah, but you can do a pretend one.
All right, then. There's some way of doing this, yeah. John, Brendan just mentioned there. If you look back to the 2023 final, listen, it was nearly a no contest. You know, in fairness to Guidor, they've bridged the gap in some way. You know, Neil are always going to be the team to beat for me at the minute in Donegal. But Guidor, from where they were, you'd have to say well done to McNeely, St. Francie and the guys there to get that close. But then the feeling was, if Neil Connell get in their groove, they're going to have too much. And eventually that is what happened. And he looked after half time, 7 down, looking a bit out of sorts. But once they turned the screw, from that to the first period of added time, 2-9 to 3 points, That's serious with two teams that looked the 50-50 going into it.
Yeah, and I suppose to be honest, and we spoke about this last week, like Guidor rightly so went into this final probably a slight favourites because they hadn't been beaten all year. They performed very well. They seemed to have adapted to the rules much better. And we spoke last Monday night, I think it was, and I said you only really judge a player and teams when you look down the barrel of the gun with 10 minutes to go on county final day and things are not going well. And unless you've done it before, it can be a very lonely and dark place to be and daunting, especially for young players, because, you know, you're right, in 2023, it was a non-event. They were a very young side and they've definitely developed and matured. But when it came down to it, the Niamh Connell guys knew how to win. And that's ultimately what it came down to, because even towards the end of the game, and I suppose from a Niamh Connell perspective, we felt maybe we should have been further ahead. Guidor had two or three chances when they were 2 points up to go 3 points up, which would have been a killer at that stage. And they just didn't manage to get it done. And on the flip side of it, at crucial moments, and they've done this all year, and Kevin McGettigan's a prime example. If you look at all the crucial goals he's got over the years, back against Carrigan when he should never have scored, against Terman, finding key moments and understanding what the key moments are, I don't think it's something that can be taught as a footballer. I think it's developed over years and years and years. And when the push comes on and the squeeze come on, they just bring it to a different level. And it's very, very hard to deal with. It's very hard to contain this onslaught and no panic. I spoke to one of the Guidor mentors after the game and he just said to me, John, we were beat at full time. At that stage, they had left everything behind them and just it was a case of nearly formality from their point of view, even though they pushed very hard in the second half. Yeah. And then Max obviously scored the goal, scored the point, caught that big ball onto the stand. Fimber Rorty then just decided throughout the entire game
to be superhuman,
I'm not going to lose today. And it's ridiculous. Like, what, Fimber's 20, is he? 19. Oh, well, he's just showing off. But he took the game by the, a 19-year-old, he took the game by the scruff of the
see,
neck.
See, John, on that, it's the way he was taking Darragh Boyle out while still playing his own game. You know, he was doing two roles, and he did the two of them brilliantly.
He took their main man out and also provided so much on the front foot going forward and contributed a lot of the good stuff came through Finbar. Like, you know, he's an animal on the field. Like, he's a different gravy.
The 2 points that we keep talking about didn't seem to be going to have an effect in this game till we come down to Oran Doherty's two-pointer, you know, with minutes to go. And then, of course, Shea Malone's brilliant. I mean, there were two fantastic scores, but the way he hit that ball and it just creeps inside the post, but John referenced it there. When Guidor missed them a couple of chances, you're just like, it's coming. But the kick out had to be won. The ball was moved so fast. If you look at the speed, because I watched the score back, you know, it's the last minute there, the speed of movement to get him into position and the way he clipped that ball, you kind of thought, time's up already, didn't you? You had that feeling that Guidor have had their opportunity didn't Eve Connell now, you know?
That was evident in the first 10 minutes of extra time. I've never seen such domination in 10 minutes in all my time attending Gaelic football matches. It was just total domination all over the field. I don't think Gidor mounted one attack in that 10 minutes, that they didn't get the ball up past their own 45. And that I think the couple of mischances that they had, but there was only one name on the cup at that stage, Brendan.
Yeah. So. Well, the man who lifted the cup, John O'Malley's here. Give it up. Jump up here, John. There's a seat for you. Yes, John, I want to know what you said at halftime.
I didn't say much at halftime, to be honest. You know, at halftime, we spoke about it yesterday, Anthony Thompson got mad at halftime, and that's not something that usually happens, you know. He's one of them boys, when he speaks, you listen, and when he speaks angrily, you definitely listen. But it was one of them things, we knew we weren't playing well, but we knew the game was definitely still there to be won, and we felt like we weren't finishing out our attacks as well as we could have done. There were scores there to be got, the game was definitely still there to be won. So, listen, there was no panic, but we knew we needed to up things a bit in the second half, and thankfully we did that.
Yeah, you did indeed. John, just on that, I was saying about the tactics. You know, I would have thought in the new rules you still would have went zonal, but the way you went tag, went after Gidor, and plus there was ways you opened up pockets in their defence. So you really had a serious game plan coming in the game, which probably didn't work in the first half, but you stuck to your guns. Was there much talk about kickouts? Because you probably slightly shaded it in that first half, but in the second half, was there any reason for that complete takeover?
I don't think so. Even with the zonal and man-to-man, it's something that we kind of switch between throughout the year, you know, league and championship and everything. So we know even...
Keep us all guessing.
It's something like that. Maybe we don't know what we're at ourselves sometimes, but it's good to be able to switch between the two. But listen, it's one of them things. Maybe it's not a great trait to have. You know, I know we can come back from deficits and that, and it stood to us this year, but at times we know when we need to lift it, we can do. And I think we just got that extra kick of energy in the second half. Listen, all it takes is a couple of breaks to go your way, and suddenly you have the momentum, you're on top of a team, and especially with the new rules now, it's that bit easier to cut out the short kick out, force it long, get in under the brakes, you know what I mean? And, you know, we started winning a couple of longs, and suddenly we were on top. Now, we didn't get the scores that we felt probably we should have been getting early in the second half, you know, for the dominance we probably had in that phase, but it definitely helped, you know, getting on top of midfield in the second half there.
And John, those 3 points that you conceded in the second half, you know, one, Ethan Harkin, two, Niall Friel. On those late breaks, and I know everybody, right, belief, 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 but when Gidor were on the break, were you thinking, oh, that's it now, there's the third point's coming? Or were you thinking here, listen, this, we always have an opportunity? What was the feeling in the head?
It was, you know, and they had a couple of opportunities as well, probably a couple of their easier opportunities in the game, you know, and they went away. But at the same time, we had plenty of chances in the second half. We would have put down as bankers, you know, when they went wide as well. So it kind of worked out even throughout the game. But listen, it's one of them things, especially now with two-pointers and whatnot, you know, you're never dead. And the kick to level it there, Shea Malone, full-time. I think everyone was holding their breath until it went right over. Looking back at it today, Shea kicked. As soon as he kicked, he turned around and he was fist-pumping to the crowd. he knew where it was going. Like.
But Shea was the only one, because there's a great video running around with Finbar, because he ducked to get out of the way. And then he's leaning over to one side as he's going over the bar, trying to wallet over the bar. So maybe Shea knew, but everybody else was holding their breath.
I think Finbar leaning that way made the difference, you know, in the end. I think it did.
Listen, he can walk on water right now, so I'm not surprised.
Joe, the amount of experience in the dressing room, how's it now with the younger lads coming through and winning championships and that kind of youth coming back and still, you know, likes Anthony, Leo, Brandy, all the boys still playing? You're a bit of a veteran yourself.
I know, I'm only young yet. It's great. And people talk about, you know, when games get tight and whatnot, and experience and the old heads. And I always talk about the Termin game especially. We were out of the championship at that stage, like dead and buried. We scored 1-4 late in the game. That was Shea, Max and Fumber that got the last 1-4 between them. Do you know what I mean? The experience has gone a long way, but I swear that the younger fellas, wee Mark McDavid, they're coming off the bench as well. Every day he comes off the bench, he makes such an impact. As them young fellas are driving us on, do you know what I mean? The experience counts for a lot, but it's on the young fellas' backs that we've won the championship, to be honest.
Yeah, and just by an idea, John, just the honour of leading the club to the championship. How does that feel, you and your family? It's a special thing, like taking the cup back to your hometown, and what that means to you personally?
Yeah, it's a big one. To be honest, I was nearly retired 3 years ago, and that's not a joke. We lost the final in 2021 against St Junans. Regan tried to walk away. Thank God we didn't let him. But I was approached at that stage about coming on to coach Niamh Connell at that stage, and I seriously considered it because I was out of the team,
I heard you're a good coach, all right, now as well.
Time enough for that,
I wanted to keep him with the
minors. St Junans need a coach at the minute.
No. They haven't enough money.
How much, John?
But no, listen. Thankfully, I decided to stay on and play. You know, and I never thought I would experience a day like yesterday as captain Niamh Connell. I remember saying to my wife last year that if I even got the opportunity to captain Niamh Connell in a challenge game before I finished up, I would be happy. And that happened. We had a challenge game against Niamh Columba at the start of this year. Regan sent me up for the toss, and I was thinking, grand, I was captain for one day. Little did I know I was going to be captain for the year then. So absolutely delighted. It was a proud day for myself and for the family.
Right up, John O'Malley. We're back after this break.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Welcome back to the Thatch Bar here in Glenties. We're celebrating the 2025 Senior Championship. And not forgetting the senior me. We have a man here, the one and only James Plummer. Boyle, James, good day yesterday.
Not too bad.
But well, we unprompted you on there, James. I just spotted you there. You're hard to miss.
Well, that's definitely true.
Big man, hey, full back kind of material.
Full forward.
one limb, listen. James, that's a big day yesterday. Listen, massive day for the parish.
Massive altogether. It really, really was. Very, very happy to be involved in it. You know, it was hairy at times, but I don't know. We plugged away and we got a reward at the end.
Yeah, and listen, both games going to extra time. You couldn't write it, but to come out on top of the two, it probably just, I mean, can you add the championships? But when you won them in that kind of way, it does make the thing much more exciting and much more enjoyable then to take the cups down the road.
The JAR charged it a wee bit too much into these games, so we're better giving them an extra half an hour on each game, I think. Now, look, I'll joke it aside, go down the stretch, extra time the last week against, or 2 weeks against Ardra, and again yesterday. Look at it, it's not easy on their own heart, but it must be working okay, because I'm still living.
Magic, James, well done. You're living, surely. Well done yesterday, my man.
Thank you very much.
We have a man here now, the chairman himself, that says the happiest man you could meet, regardless of what's on. Peter, you always love to see us. See you around matches, club and county. And what a big day yesterday. Great to be chairman of the club on a double championship.
It's
one
a
day.
Proud day to be chairman at any time, but it's a proud day to be chairman at county champion level anyway.
Yeah.
And won in both games. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Good day.
And listen, the build up to it, you know, it was it's brilliant then having, you have so many players and then so many families involved in this, so it just adds to the occasion.
The build up here was very kind of quiet this year now. It was, there were nothing too hectic about it.
You're used to it, you see.
Yeah, I know. We kept the show on the board anyway. So.
Well, that's because you're planning for an Ulster Championship, is it?
Where I don't make plans at all. and I never do. Somebody, even my own son, asks me sometimes, what are you doing tomorrow? I says, I don't know. I'll wait till I get up anyway and see what happens.
Well, listen.
I don't make plans.
You got the tarmac done down the road.
We got the tarmac done. It took a while too, but just bit by bit.
And you have plans for a new pitch and you have a lot of stuff going on.
We have, yes. That'll be somebody else's problem, I'm afraid. My chairman days are nearly over, so...
Well, I'll tell you what, you're going out in style.
I'm going out in style, and you couldn't go out in a better way.
Yeah, I'm playing the Scotstown man now.
No, well, there's Mona and Finland is not decided yet.
Clontibret,
there are two teams
left
yet. Yeah.
So, yeah, that hasn't been played yet. Clontibret, Scotstown. I didn't even know if that was played yesterday.
No, it wasn't.
I was out celebrating last night.
No, it wasn't. I think it. I'm not sure. I think it's fixed for next weekend. But it's not. Yeah.
So you'll be getting up for a bit of spying there then?
Well, I won't, but there's no point in me spying. I can do nothing about it. But
that probably is a question for John O'Malley.
There'll be a delegation going anyway. I'll not be. There's no point in sending me up now.
Well, you could send up the mastermind John Gilday here.
Well, we could do that.
Yeah.
We could do that.
But Peter, listen, all in all, everything has happened. The lights and that at the club, being able to host evening games. You know, there's a lot of good things happening.
There's a lot, apart from the two good teams that we have, obviously two brilliant teams, there's a big wheel there, and I'm just a cog in it. A lot of work has been taking place this last couple of years, and we're working hard, and we have a great committee, and great support from the whole area, from Mina Golan to Weir Mawes to Aidenfa. Everybody backs us, and we're getting good help from everybody. And we have high hopes. Some of us might never see them fulfilled, but we'll try. And we're getting bit by bit. It's a jigsaw. We're putting pieces together. We're taking none out. We're putting pieces together.
Yes. And so it's a big push all the time, you know, for fundraising.
Sadly, we're cadging all the time. That's a local word here.
Anything going at the minute? Brendan could kind of buy a few tickets here.
No bother. Just when you say that now, and I suppose a free ad on Island Radio tomorrow night, our lotto draw, the usual lotto draw, it's 9,200 tomorrow night.
There you go.
And as well as that, tomorrow night is the end of our 200 club. We'll be out on next month again looking for more members.
Good man.
So it's a free ad on Island Radio.
Listen, you're entitled to that, my man. Here, listen, here, tell me, what about the depth of coaching and underage and everything that's going on in the club with the community? Because you really get the sense of community with Niamh Connell in terms of the GA being right at the heart of it and what it does for all the kids as well, as they're looking up to.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I've said it before, probably we're lucky in that there's not many other distractions. The GA is number one here. And secondly, talking about our footballers now, the majority of them are involved at underage as well, coaching and things. Something that I can go back a long time in the club, and I will not say a long, but anyway, something that never happened before was players just played. Now our players are taking part in the club. Not just coaching and stuff. Some of our senior players are involved in the development of the club on that committee. They're just taking part in every aspect of the club, which is brilliant. And of course, as I say, outside of the players, there are other people that help as well. But it's a big community effort.
Yeah.
And we get the backing from the town committee, the parish council and all the rest. So, you know, it is a good community.
I'll tell you what, good community, folks. You're lucky to have this man. What a great chairman he was. Peter! What a great chairman he is. And it'll be a hard man to replace. Well done, Peter McKelvey. We're going to hear now from Bradis O'Donnell. Bradis, come on down. The Price is Right. Go on, big guy. The video man himself. I'll tell you what, this man knows his football.
Thanks to me.
I'll tell you what, me and this man were on a wee trip there to Togo on behalf of Plan International a couple of years ago. We have a special bond now, so Bradis, we love him now, if you like me and you now. But no, Bradis obviously does the streaming and does a lot of video, and I know he does stuff for the club. You're very much a part of it. And just as Peter was saying there, Bradis, what I see with all the Niamh Connell people, I see there, they seem to have some part in the club. You know, they're not just supporters, but they're more than supporters. People all seem to have some kind of a role where they help the teams to progress, and you're part of that.
Well, to be fair, when you have the likes of Martin Regan, you know, and Martin Regan Senior as well, they put so much thought and everything that they actually do as well. Like, and it's just a pleasure to be asked to do something for them. And as you say, everybody has a small part to play. And once Martin Regan comes calling, you just answer it, and that's it.
Can you imagine? I can't imagine you've come now without Martin Regan. I mean, we're looking back to, I was chatting to Muriel here, and listen, a round of applause for Muriel, by the way, for setting all this up. You ask Muriel to do anything and she gets it done, so thanks a million, Muriel. Sorry, I should have said that at the top of the show. But we're just talking about Martin and his involvement right through all the championships. I mean, it just seems phenomenal that he's there and he keeps just churning it out. Is that something, I suppose, it's almost like, I suppose, the Michael Murphy thing. We don't think, we don't want him ever not to be there. Is that the same with Martin now?
100%. Like, what Martin does just with the team, that's one aspect of it. We had a draw there about a few years ago for the floodlights. He was the coordinator on that. And there was something like, I think, about 180 people out selling tickets. We covered the whole of Ulster and part of Connacht, and that was down to Martin. And the same thing during COVID as well, the gym that was there. It was kind of getting a bit tired in that. So the boys took on that project. Martin coordinated that with all the senior footballers and the reserves. They sold up, they auctioned off some of the old gear, done it up and just done a whole thing on it. And the likes of Enda McGuigan then shuttered off the kind of a wee room that we have in there that was kind of just lying there. And the Cope sponsored all the materials for it and the players and all that themselves without costing the club a penny, and the fund raised for that. So that's the kind of level you're at, like, with community, with Martin Regan. And it's only a pleasure just to be. If anybody's any part to play, I think the whole community has everything to play in it. Like, and just down to Martin, I think.
And you look very straight. You're not myself. Your wild days over, or you?
You know what my wild days to be. Like, I always say.
I keep saying these throwback pictures of you with the long hair and all the boys. The line.
As I said, the most dangerous thing I've ever done is go away with you. It wasn't going to a war-torn part of Africa. It was actually going away with you. And but survived,
I nicked you with the bus driver in the Simpsons, Otto. I named him Otto because he's the most laid-back man. We were on our way into Africa, and it's pretty hostile territory now, but his visa wasn't sorted, and the plan woman was with us, was panicking the bit. She was emailing away, oh my God, because he's strutting about the airport. Pair of shorts, like he was a Jamaican, just like whatever. Give it up for Brannis and all.
Cheers, Brian.
Well, just before we come to our next guest, Brendan, Ulster there. The final's still to be played, but isn't it great now you've gone and go up and watch the two teams, and it's hard to beat seeing something. Video's good, but seeing the team in the flesh, it puts them in a good place for weighing up Scotstown or Clontibret.
It certainly does, yeah. And, you know, the fact that the 2 week break before the final two was a big thing, because it was a hectic schedule all summer. It was game and game and game, and to have that 2 weeks. But now they have a 4 weeks so they can enjoy the celebrations, enjoy what they did yesterday, and then refocus. And you know they're going to refocus, that it's going to be a target of theirs, and hopefully get a few players back fit, the likes of Owen McGettigan, get them back firing, get a couple of them guys, and give Ulster a good rattle.
Yeah, I certainly think they will. We've just been joined on stage by another club legend, Johnny the Butcher. Give it up. John, you can ask, what do you got to say about this boy in terms of your teammate?
Before I start, beside Terence Craig down here, and he says, geez, that Devaney's a cheeky buck, isn't he?
Good man, Terence.
Anyway, I didn't argue.
is he bigger than me?
No, he's not bigger than you, but he's far harder. Tell you that for nothing.
But hey, I wanted you describe, right? I'll not be cheeky anymore. Sorry about that. I'll be cheeky. We'll cut that out for the podcast, all right? No cheekiness. I want to say a word, because I think this boy's a top footballer and a top lad along with it. But just playing along with him, John, what do you mean of Johnny?
Well, before I say anything nice, we were just talking over there a minute ago, and I said, Johnny, many medals have you have? And he said, 3. And I said, you must be embarrassed walking down the town at the moment, do you?
Hold on. That's Jay.
Says the boy with one.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. I don't even walk down the town. I drive very fast through the town. Because there's no point walking. It's a bit like the Kerry boys when they ask you how many All-Ireland medals you have, and you go...
But he will say that's the most important one.
They're all important. But Johnny, listen, Johnny's been, you know, instrumental in so many things, and like you can see his fingerprints on so many of those younger players coming through from a coaching perspective. I felt there was another couple of years left in Johnny. You can see even still he could do a job for you. He's in great shape. And, you know, to have...
That's all the lean meat that he eat.
He's on the non-carb diet. But it's but no, he's just been... Like Peter was saying and Brad was saying, is that anybody that's over here, they're completely involved and immersed in the club and they're always giving back. And it's a very unique situation because you don't see it in a lot of clubs. And even like a John being trying to be poached to, you know, go on to management and coach the team, far too young, and thankfully that didn't happen. But, you know, like Johnny, along with so many boys that have come and gone in the past, like the last 20 years has been amazing. I can only imagine what it's like to be physically involved in playing games and training, because Johnny, along with me, we had plenty of dark days, and I had more dark days than you because you're a bit younger. But even one-on-one was amazing. It was like more than we could ever have imagined and ever thought we were ever going to achieve in our lifetime. And little did we think at that point in time, and you look 20 years on, and 20 years from the day, basically the day we won the first one, you have men down the town with 8 medals, and you have 2 teams competing in the final and 1 in finals. And it's, you know, I was at the dinner dance 2 years ago, and what I said to the younger lads at that stage is, it's not to be taken for granted at any point in time, because you never know when the well dries up or when it stops, for whatever reason it might be. And most people in this town don't remember the dark days. Some of the older lads, Terns and Peter and boys like that, like we were all around when you know, winning an intermediate title was the most amazing thing we'd ever done. And now we have men, you know, 4 men down the town with 8 medals, and John has 7, and you have, like, everybody has a host of medals, and not to take it for granted, because it's amazingly important for people of the town, but it's even more important for people away, that gives them a self of belonging and community. And my wife said to me yesterday, and generally I have a very upbeat attitude to life in general, and I'd like to think I'm happy most of the time. I was very happy today in Max Mason, Letterkenny, as I sat there for 4 hours. drank an awful lot of tea, but anyway. I'll be there tomorrow and with
you
Thursday.
You looked like you're eating an odd cake as well.
but my wife said to me, she goes, I can honestly say the happiest I ever see you is at the end of a county final when Niamh Connell have won. And there's a visceral emotion attached to that, where it comes from the toes right up to the tip of your hair, that you've managed to win it. And I know that the lads give all the sacrifice and they put everything into it, but for when you do it again next year, and when you're trying to coax Anthony back in for another term, it means so much to everybody else, and you'll only realise it when it's gone. And I'm sorry I wasn't 10 years younger to be right smack in the middle of that, because it's just so amazing for so many different reasons.
Yep, first class, round of applause. And what I asked you to ask him, right? I'll do it for you, right? I says, right, Johnny, just your feeling yesterday about the parish and what happened, and I know you're involved underage and that, and just seeing this concert conveyor belt come through from, as John said, from the times where it didn't seem possible, it just has been amazing.
I got chatting to Charlie. It's funny, just it stuck with me today. I got chatting to Charlie McGuinness after the game, and it's not to go back to us, or I'm not trying to take away from now, but he just said, you know, if you've never won in 05, this mightn't have happened. He said he felt, and that was him right after the game, and I thought about it, and I remember in 05, we drew with yous first, and we obviously won in the replay, but I'll never forget John Gilday that day, and it's something that always stuck with us, and we spoke about it as a group after. And this isn't a John Gilley appreciation or anything.
Oh,
but
please, no.
Can we have a bit of quiet here, please?
But I remember that night, and I remember Mark Crossan and David McGinley, the only 2 Letterkenny lads that came over to celebrate with us. But I remember having a good chat with Mark Crossan, and he says, "We knew what John Gilley was going to what John Gilley was going to do, and we couldn't stop him." And I felt yesterday it was the closest thing, or maybe even bettered, by Finbar. I felt we all know what Finbar wants to do, and generally he's going to do it anyway, no matter what's coming up against him. I felt that was a big driving force of yesterday. And throughout the ages, when you look at all of the teams and the main leaders of a team, we seem to have a set player that leads us on a particular championship winning team. And you look at Anthony and Leo, and you look at John Gilday, you look at Kieran Thompson. And I felt yesterday it was the 3 young lads that really, really stepped up. And looking at it now, it's obvious they were that good, but it's not obvious because it had never happened. And I feel also like Kieran Gallagher, I think the fact that Kieran Thompson was injured this year, I don't think he'd be the player he is now if Kieran Thompson was fit, because he had to step in. He had to be the primary ball winner in a game where primary possession is so important. And I felt he felt that role. And throughout the year, looking at him, I think he dragged us over the line as much as anybody. When you go back to the Termin game after we got the goal, the next kick out, Kieran wins it. We go down, we score the winning point. So a lot of things happen. And I know it's fine lines and fine margins, but I just feel that we had the main leaders yesterday that stood up when the game was in the balance. And I can't get over how mature our young lads are. And that's not from coaching, and that's not from, I don't know what it's from, is it from home? But the maturity they show when they have nothing in the bank in terms of that kind of experience, when I see that, it just fills you with hope that maybe we'll push on and compete for another 4 or 5 championships, which I think we definitely can. I think we keep everybody on board, Anthony and Brendy and all the other lads. Their roles might get a bit smaller, but I think they still have an awful lot to contribute. And then you have the young lads coming again. You've like Dahi Malloy coming from a minor team, Leon. There is more coming. They'll fit the system because of the type of personalities that are there already, you know. And I think the conveyor belt is good enough. We feel here like our numbers aren't huge at underage, so our motto kind of here is we have to make the best of what we have. So we have to coach them well. You turn nobody away. If you see something in a player, we have to really work that to try and progress them. And we mightn't win championships with teams, but we're hoping to pull players from teams to make good senior footballers, you know.
What a brilliant summing up. Johnny the Butcher. Johnny, that's mighty. We're going to take a quick break, and we're back with Martin Regan Sr. Johnny, we're going to get you a job in Highland Radio.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny. Serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Welcome back to the Thatch Bar here in Glenty's, home of double champions, Niamh Connell. Johnny the Butcher just said to me about a Monday and a must. Johnny, I promise any more Mondays, if you're the championship, I'll be here. Is that all right for you, my man? Listen, folks, I'm joined by Martin Regan Sr. here. Martin, listen, we had your chairman up, Peter, a few minutes back, and no more than yourself. See you around games, club and county. Always a great man to see. But listen, what a great day in your house again. And your son, his involvement, we've talked about it there. Just phenomenal. So you must be so proud of him.
I'm proud of him. Yeah, I'm delighted for them. Same as the players. They're rewarded with success, which is brilliant. But they're an inspiration. It's not him. It's not one individual. It's everybody. The players are just a pleasure to see. I say to the young lads, I just love to see them on the football field. They're a pleasure. They're inspirational. And John was an inspirational man. I remember John sitting in the dressing room after the drawing game in 2005, and the knee was swelling up. But instead of going getting treatment, he come back to Glenty's because it was a drawing game. He was an inspiration. The present team are an inspiration as well, the same as them. The individual's inspirational. And on that inspiration, it lifts everybody. And as we're all going to miss, that I love the team as they lift the parish. And the individuals in it are inspirational. And I think about the people that are not at yesterday's county final that would have liked to be at it. They're in my thoughts, and they're all our thoughts. And I'd ask them to, they're in hospital somewhere, I'm not going to name them, and people getting better from the parish. Use the team as an inspiration. Look at what they can do. You were saying about them being dead, gone, but they come back and they won. They lift everybody. And I'm saying that, and John's beside me, he'll agree with me. He remembered the day well. I was sitting here in the dressing room, an inspiration. We talked about come back to Glenty's, and you come back to Glenty's that night. You weren't fit to walk, an inspiration. And Kieran Thompson was an inspiration. So at dressing, they turn up at the dressing, at the trainings, and the players come in with a massive attitude to training. There's no shouting at training. The players do the shouting and they drive each other on. They're helping all the time. It's no one driving. The driving would only last for so long. They have to drive themselves and they love coming back. And I know well they're looking forward to come back to training again this week because that's the way they are. They love meeting each other. I feel sorry for the Guidoor players because they put in a huge effort too. you know what I mean? You feel for them. And I know some of them, great friends. They're left disappointed. Disappointed. And that's the same with Four Masters, Terman. But they're an inspiration, more than just middles. They're an inspiration to the parish, to what they've done. They've come and done their best yesterday. It didn't work out for them. But still, people in their parish should look to them and not, you know, cheer them on, encourage them. But they're an inspiration, even though they didn't get the silverware. And that's the same in every parish.
Yeah, that's the same as right. Good man. Very good, sir. Tell me. Tell me now, you might want to take credit for this, but coaching's in the blood. Was it passed down the line there to young Martin or?
Ah, I wouldn't. I don't admit it. When I was managing, Johnny Butcher was my coach. So I have to quickly say, I was never a good coach. No,
you,
no.
You didn't buy him a tactics board when he was 14 or something?
No. It'd be simple. It'd be simple. You know, commitment. Ah, the players that time. We were just blessed, more than the present. I was blessed with a great bunch of players to come on board that time. Andy Thompson, you know, just saying Andy because he's still playing brilliant. Picked up. You know, remember Leo McLuhan coming as a 7-year-old, you know, had to tie his laces. But they're just a lovely, I was just blessed with a lovely bunch of lads. Yeah. You were friends for life. Do you know what I mean? And still friends for life. You'll have friends for life. That's the difference in club and county, my experience of the county. You'll have friends for life from the parish, from your club, but not so at county level. They're fine, they're great, but you have friends for life, and that's what's great, the reward about coming and being involved in local GAA. It's more than just winning medals.
Yeah, and listen, we also was talking with Peter earlier, but the place in the community is so different, and if you look at kind of some of our other sports stars, they're very absent from the community, you know. Mm-hmm. Whereas the GAA people, and not only in what you see, the players, they're so grounded, like they're so happy to get involved and be around and be seen around. And of course, you had Jim McGuinness here last night. Oh, there's a lot of selfies. The man himself, the Messiah. So, you know, all that's building.
An inspirational figure, too. You know, people, same as John, they were the two inspirations that time. Period. There's two of them, two or three or four or five, blessed presently, same people again. Inspirational, I call them. Yeah. And I use them for inspiration myself. If you're ever down, think about the team that fought back. Think about individuals, what they've done.
Yeah. And Martin and the family, the commitment, because, listen, I was in last year coaching. The time that's required is absolutely massive, and it just keeps going up and up in terms of training, video analysis and that. So what Martin's given in time-wise, you know, is kind of unquantifiable nearly.
Ah, yeah. And Martin is blessed in the sense that he's massive support from Orla, his wife. Really, she's a footballer herself and comes from a footballing family in Kilcare. And she knows all about it. And really, I see firsthand, she'll take the children, she'll tidy up, she'll have everything ready for them, and they're away and back in. She understands every bit of put up with late nights, put up with people coming and going, everything. And she's just the blessing in it. No, that's really. But for her, he wouldn't keep going.
Yeah. It's a bit late for us, but 30 years ago, we were asking, had she any sisters? The woman sounds wonderful.
Sharon's not one of the
Sharon, I'm sorry if you're listening.
Well, my mum was from Gidor. She was a bit sad last night. Yep, listen, folks, we're down to the last 30 seconds here. Martin, absolute legend talking to you. I say, it's always great to meet you around games.
A pleasure to meet you here, too. Yes. The last time I met you were in here, I think, celebrating something with Jim McGuinness. And you picked me up at John's pub and you carried me across the street. And you left. And it was mine that when you left me off the other side.
Thankfully, the show's
at wild days.
Listen, folks, thanks so much for coming this evening. Enjoy the night. Keep listening to the DL debate. Good luck in Ulster. We'll be following you through it.